Well, welcome. That's exciting. That is for me to see what God has done. It truly is amazing. I mean, I knew God was going to do some pretty cool things, but to see it kind of lived out like that, to me, it's such a blessing. It's so good to have you guys be a part of it. So many faithful, committed people that have been a part of this, the history of the Rock Church over the years. So I want to encourage you, if you're new with us, I encourage you to consider joining us, truly, in all that God wants to do, because it is a ride. And I think it's going to turn into a roller coaster pretty quick here. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun and exciting. God has so much. I want to encourage you to join up with us with what God's doing. So we're going to continue our stewardship series, our finance series that's part of our Roots 2.0 campaign. And tonight we're going to talk about commitment. Last week we talked about stewardship. And that's really what we're talking about over these 4 weeks is biblical stewardship. And if you want to watch that message, simply go online. Stewardship is simply taking care of God's stuff. That's all it is. Being a good manager of the things God has given us and understanding something that I think all of us were reminded of last week is that your stuff is not your stuff. My stuff isn't my stuff. Whose is it? It's God's stuff. None of your stuff belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. All the stuff that I think I'm making my kingdom out of, that's all God's stuff, and he has a plan for it. And I need to make sure that I'm following his plan, being a good manager, a good steward of his stuff. That was last week. This week, we're going to talk about commitment and what commitment looks like when it comes to our giving. Because commitment truly does reflect and express an attitude toward God. When we look at those two things, when we look at our giving, it reflects our commitment and expresses our commitment to God. So that's what we're going to look at. Commitment, as I think about this, commitment is something that is kind of a lost art. In one sense, we don't understand commitment, I don't think, like we used to, like the good old days. People used to understand commitment a little better than this culture, our current culture, and maybe even this generation. Commitment for most of us is if we miss an episode of Portlandia or The Office, then we go to Hulu the next night and we make up our commitment by fulfilling the episode that we missed. That's about what we know about commitment. Marriage commitment, well, you know what? I need to be happy. So if I'm not happy, I'm out. When it comes to jobs, you know what? I could give or take. I don't need to be committed to this company. When it comes to church, you know, everything's great until a new church comes and they have some new fancy programs. Commitment is something that we know little about. But God takes commitments very seriously. And commitment is a biblical concept. It says in the Webster's Dictionary, commitment is a pledge to do something. That's a very simple definition of commitment. I like what Nelson's Bible Dictionary says about a vow. Similar concept, a vow and commitment. It says, a vow is a solemn promise or a pledge that binds a person to perform a specified act or to behave in a certain matter. A pledge is, it's a pledge to do something, but to do it before God prayerfully. That's a vow. You take it seriously because God takes it seriously when we make a commitment or we make a vow. But God wants us to make commitments. It's a godly attribute to prayerfully consider and make commitments, especially to God, to other people, even to ourselves, with our disciplines to make commitments to God. And our commitment to giving really does reflect and express our faith in God. Again, this is not about something that we can get from you. This is something that we want you to be blessed by. It are these principles of stewardship. And I believe that with all my heart. I am not interested in begging, twisting arms, trying to get money out of people. That is not my goal at all. And if you know me, you know that's true. I believe these principles. I live these principles. And we need to hear them. I hear every time I teach these messages, people come up to me, maybe it's a year later, maybe it's years later, and say, that changed my life because I'd never heard that. Nobody's ever taught me those principles. So here's a cool thing. Tonight we have an amazing opportunity because I'm going to give a short message. Yes, it's going to be short, a short message, and then we're going to have an application right after the message on giving because we're going to do our Change the World tonight. We're going to take an offering, not for the Rock Church, not for anything we're doing here, but for some poor people in Honduras and for some poor gypsies in Romania. And we're going to be able to apply everything I'm teaching tonight. So it's a unique opportunity for us, and I'm excited about it. Let me just share another verse with you. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It says this about commitments. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth." Imagine that God in heaven, his eyes is kind of like, you know, the big eye in Lord of the Rings. It's just, I think of that. You know, it's ranging, looking for Frodo in the rocks. You know, it's ranging throughout the earth. God's eyes are ranging throughout the earth, but they're not looking for Frodo. Here's what it's looking for. God's eyes are looking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. God's eyes are roaming, looking for hearts. I have often prayed in my prayer time, and I'll stop, and if I'm thinking about that verse, I'll stop and say, "God, I hope that your eyes stop right here. I know you're looking. I want to be available to you. I want to be fully committed. God, right here. Will your eyes stop right here?" God takes commitments seriously. A biblical commitment, a biblical vow, is not an unimportant, it is not a small thing. Commitment to God, commitment to our faith is not a small thing. And I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, "The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important." Commitments to our faith, to our God, are incredibly important. Casual won't cut it. The Christian life is just too hard. We need to learn how to be committed. And when it comes to our finances, we need to learn how to be committed to our giving, because it reflects and expresses our commitment to God. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And we've already prayed, so we're going to jump right into it. Let's look at this first point. I have really two main points. First one is this: commitment is reflected in our giving. And I'm going to share some principles with you, and again, we'll have an opportunity to actually put them into practice and respond to these principles. But commitment is reflected in our giving. If you say that you're committed to God and you have means to be able to be generous, and you aren't, then I question your commitment to God. Or maybe your understanding, maybe you're ignorant of the biblical principles. But generosity is a godly trait. It clearly is. So it reflects your commitment to God. We looked at this last week a little bit. The idea that money is a test. God uses money to test our hearts. He truly does. We saw that in the parable of the shrewd manager in Luke 16. One verse that we read is this, Luke 16, 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve both. God and money. You can't serve both. In fact, you will serve one or the other. You'll serve God or you will serve your bank account. You will serve the Lord or you'll serve your security and your 401k. You will serve God or you'll build your kingdom. But you cannot do both. And I cannot do both. We are tempted to serve our money and make money our king and make money our security. God says you can't, you can't do both. You cannot do both. Can I just remind you again of something I shared last week? This is important, is that God doesn't need your stuff. God doesn't need your little cookie, the little crumb that you want to break off. God looks at you and says, "I don't need your stuff. What I'm interested in is your heart and my heart." He's interested in our hearts, and money fleshes it out. It's a test. How do we do with our money? How good stewards are we? It really does test us, doesn't it? Our money tests us. Oh, does it test us? Because, number one, it's a matter of honor. Let me share this quote with you. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, "If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Tell me what you think about money, and I can tell you what you think about God. For these two are closely related. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than almost anything else." And this is so true. Tell me about a man's spending habits, and Billy Graham says, "I'll tell you about his relationship with God." You and I will be reflected, our commitment to God will be reflected in how we give. And here's just some principles. When it comes to giving back to God a portion of what he's given to us, I think what it comes down to is a matter of honor. Are we honoring God with what he has given us, with the stuff he has given us to steward? Our money, our resources, our material goods, our time, our talents, our treasure. Are we good stewards? Are we, in other words, honoring God? That's a good question to ask with your finances. Am I honoring God with my budget, with my finances? Because we need to. It says it right here in Proverbs 3. It says, we are to honor the Lord with our wealth. Honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Clearly, the principle is honor with the wealth, with the stuff God gives us. Am I honoring? Are you honoring God with your stuff? Are you? It reflects your commitment to Him. If you're not, it reflects whether you're committed to God or not. How committed you are. It's also a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust as God is your protector and your provider, as opposed to your money being your protector and provider. Deuteronomy 14:23, I like this in the Living. It says, the purpose of tithing is to teach us to put God first in every area of our lives. We'll talk about tithing in a second. The purpose of tithing is to teach us to put God first. In other words, to trust God, to say, God, I trust you to protect me and provide for me. We have the tendency to want to run to people and things and bank accounts for our protection. We all have that tendency. But we can't serve both God and money. God says, I will use your money to test you to see who you're trusting. I can tell who you're trusting, God says, by how you steward the stuff I give you. It's a test. It also says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for everything for our enjoyment. Wow, that's a killer verse if you think about it. We're either going to trust our money to protect us, but that's uncertain, says God, or we're going to trust God, and God says, you're going to have a party if you trust me. It's going to be awesome. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have so much joy in your life if you trust me in this area. So many people think they're going to find joy in the money, but it doesn't bring joy. It does not bring joy. In fact, I like this quote by Ivor and Ball. He says, that which you cannot give away, you do not possess, it possesses you. That which you cannot give away, you don't possess it, it possesses you, it owns you. It's your master. It's your master. How do you know if you're trusting God? If you are trusting God to protect you and provide for you, look at your budget. See how you spend your money. You and I, we need to learn this principle. And most of the time when people talk about giving, they just talk about the fact that we should give cheerfully. And we should. I think we should give cheerfully. I think that should be one of the happiest things we do. Truly. And I'll illustrate it with a picture that I've used for years, but that's okay. I think 12 years I've been using this picture. And you're going to love it because it's a picture of a birthday party at my house 12 years ago. And one boy was given a gift and one boy was receiving a gift. I think, is Nathan here tonight? Yeah, all three boys, matter of fact, all three boys come up here right now. I want Nathan, I want Joseph, and I want Philip to come up on stage right now. Joseph's on security, come up here. Okay, I want you to stand right here, Nathan, like this. You stand right back here, okay? Philip, you come right over here. Or are you going to block the screen? Right there. Don't block the screen, and Joseph right here. Okay, so here's the picture of the birthday party. Ready? There it is. Okay, so guess who's smiling up there? That's Nathan. Okay, that's Nathan smiling. Joseph is in the lower left-hand corner. They all have much more facial hair than they had back 12 years ago. Oh, yeah. And there's Philip. Philip's on the right-hand corner. He's just kind of off to the side. And I've showed this picture for years. Why? Because what's cool about this picture is you could be confused on who's getting a gift and who's giving the gift. The person that's giving the gift was Nathan, and he is so excited about what he gave my boy. Do you guys remember what that gift was? No, you don't remember. Legos, probably. Go ahead and sit down. Give these guys a round of applause. This, I want you to burn this into your mind. This is what a cheerful giver looks like. You didn't have to twist Nathan's arm to be excited about giving. He was so thrilled with whatever he gave Joseph. He just couldn't stand it. I think that's the way we should be back at the giving box, right back there. Just, oh, I can't wait, hurry up. So I want to give to God. I want to put it in the Bible. I get to give to God today. This is so awesome. We didn't have to make him be cheerful. Nathan, you be cheerful about giving. This is a cheerful giver. He loved giving. I have had people tell me recently, they love giving to God. They love giving money away. I've had families tell me that. And I know they're sincere. And it reflects their commitment to God. Their trust in God. It really, really does. Men and women, we need to learn how to give cheerfully. Here's the second thing. Not only is it reflected, our commitment reflected in our giving, commitment is also expressed practically in our giving. So I'm going to give you a couple principles. You could say, well, I don't even know how much to give. I don't know how to start. What are the principles that you've used, Bill, over the years when it comes to your giving? Just let me share these with you. I understand some of you old crusty Christians may have other thoughts on this. And you have, especially guys that aren't given anything, you have your conviction and your truth that allows you to have peace of mind at night for not giving anything. I understand that. That's just fine. I'm going to talk to you guys who are open-minded here that want to hear what the Bible has to say. All right? These are the principles that I've used for my whole Christian life when it comes to giving, especially the question, how much should I give? That's an important question. I think God gives us a clear answer, and I'm glad that he does. Let's see here. Let's look at the tithe. First of all, the tithe, I believe, is to be given to the local church. I think that's a principle that is clear to me anyway. As I practice this over the year, I give whatever church I'm a part of at the time, my tithe, that means 10% of my gross income, I take that and I give that away. I've been doing that for 30 plus years. A 10% of my gross goes to the local church at least. Amen. That's where it goes. And we'll talk more about after that. That's when you start getting, in my opinion, that's when you start becoming generous after that point. But this first part, I believe that the tithe is obligatory. In other words, it's what's prescribed. It is a necessary responsibility. I really believe this. And I know what you're saying, you Bible scholars, well, tithing isn't talked about in the New Testament. Well, it is talked about in the New Testament. And there are principles, I think, that do carry over. Thou shalt not murder is an Old Testament principle. I think that carries over. Wouldn't you agree? I think there are principles that do carry over. I think this is one of them. And I'm not shy about sharing it, okay? Because this is what I do. Again, if you have a different opinion, God bless you, all right? The tithe is obligatory. It says in Malachi 3, 8 through 10, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, God, how? How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me of tithes and offerings. Then he exhorts the nation of Israel, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. The only place in the Bible that God says, test me, is right here when it comes to the tithe. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You say, well, what is tithing? Well, let me just illustrate it because I know some of you are visual learners. Let me just illustrate it for you this way. Here's what tithing means. I think biblical tithing. Here's 10 $1 bills, okay? So here's what tithing means. This is what you earned this week, 10 bucks, okay? So when you earn 10 bucks, God says, I want one. What do I do with that? You keep that over here. That's yours. Really? God, that's all I want. And you go, oh, that's easy. I can do that. You know when it becomes hard? And it shouldn't, if you think of it logically, when these become $100 bills. And they become $1,000 bills, and you go, oh, I don't know if I can afford it. Well, why is it easy with one and not when they're $1,000 bills? It's a mental thing. God says, all I want is one. Somebody hands you 10 donuts and says, hey, could I have one back? You go, no. I need all 10. You want one? No, you can't have one. God says, here, I'll give you all this. Can I have one back? And you say, no, I can't afford that. Maybe I'll give you a corner of that dollar bill if I'm feeling like it. That's what tithing is. Tithing isn't just giving something. Tithing is a 10% prescribed in the Old Testament, I believe, carried over to the New Testament. I believe it's a principle that God's given us, and I could go into great detail into why I think that's true. Just let me give you a few thoughts here on the tithe. I think Well, let's do this. Here's what it's for, all right? The tithe supports the livelihood of the pastors and the ministries of the church you are attending, of your local church. It is akin to the temple and the Levites of the Old Testament. They're kind of parallel. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul gives a great teaching on the tithe. Well, he's talking about giving and taking care of your spiritual leaders. He says this, if we, your spiritual leaders, have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered at the altar? Let me just break it down quickly. Paul is living in two worlds. The Old Testament world has just crashed into Jesus, and the New Testament was beginning. That whole dispensation was muddled right there. So Paul had lived in the Old Testament world. Now he's transitioning into a New Testament world. There were still priests. There were still altars. There were still tithes given to the priests. Paul is saying, listen, in the new covenant, we have a new covenant. He's saying that the new Levites are the spiritual leaders of the local church, is what he's saying. In other words, in the Old Testament, it was clear who got the tithe. This is God talking to the Levites. God said in Numbers 18, verse 26, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe. Who got the tithe? The Levites. When you get from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. In other words, all the people, Israelites, gave a tenth of everything they got to the Levites. The Levites took 10% of that and offered it to God and probably used that to help the needy and the poor. And we do the same thing as a church. All the offerings that we get, we take 10%, we give that away to missions and to help people. So everything we get in, we give 10% right off the top, just like the Levites. In other words, Old Testament Levites are akin to or parallel pastors in the New Testament. The verse finishes in 1 Corinthians 9. In the same way as what? As the Levites were paid the tithe, in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel, the same way the Levites did. That's a principle that is carried over from old to new. In other words, we think of it this way. I know the word tithe is in the New Testament. It's when Jesus commended. The only time he ever commended the Pharisees was when they tithed. He says, you tithe, but you don't have mercy. He says, you should have tithed and had mercy. He commended them. He didn't say, no, we're under New Testament now. You don't have to tithe. He said, you should have tithed, but also have mercy. Listen, we live in the New Testament. And I know what some of you are saying, and we can talk personally if you want. I know you're saying, well, Bill, we're under grace. It's under grace. You know, I get that. I do. I understand we're under grace. But the question I have for you, if that's your argument, we're under grace. The argument being, clearly, I don't have to give 10%. We're under grace. I can give less than that. I say, well, how about love? That's a law. That's a legalistic thing in the Old Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's in Deuteronomy. That's the law. So in the New Testament, we're under grace. Does that mean you don't have to love as much? Bill, this is a grace dispensation. Don't you understand? I understand so much more than you, Bill, that we're under grace, and I don't have to love as much because it's a grace dispensation. Really? What about faith? Abraham was clearly in the Old Testament. He was a father of faith. Do we have less faith because we're under grace? Or like Paul said in Romans 5, how much more did God's grace overflow to many? I think because of grace, we are demanded to give more. So if you come to me and say, Bill, I'm under grace, I'll say, good, brother, then you should probably give him more than 10%, right? Trust you are. Grace always demands more. Don't tell me you're going to give less than 10% of what is prescribed in the Old Testament because you're under grace. It's not going to fly. Not with me. I don't think with the scriptures either. I think 10% is prescribed. By the way, I thank God for the tithe. I thank God for the tithe. Why? Because if he didn't give me the tithe, I would have to ask the question, how much is God worth? How much should I give? Then you'd have to ask that. And there's only one correct answer if it's not prescribed. If God didn't tell you how much to give, then there's only one right answer to that question. How much is God worth? He's worth all of it. All 10 got to be given back to God. That's the only correct answer you could give if you're trying to answer the question, how much should I give back to God? He's worth all of it. I thank God. God says, you know what? I'm really just testing your heart anyway. I don't need your stinking money. All I'm asking is for one. You keep the rest for your enjoyment, to help other people, to provide for your family. If you're under grace, you should be given more than one. Grace always demands more. All right. I like what Randy Alcorn, the author of Heaven, he talks to people about tithing, this issue of tithing, and he's talking to people that maybe disagreed with him. And he says this, what I say to people about tithing is if you're uncomfortable starting at 10% because it's legalistic, that's fine. Start at 11, 12, or 20, or 40, or 60. But if you're going to start at less than 10%, just realize you're elevating the law over grace by saying that the law produced greater fruit in a poor culture than the transforming work of the Holy Spirit does in an affluent culture. Personally, I just can't buy that. You're under grace and you're giving less than 10%. You know, the average Christian, evangelical Christian, gives less than 3% of their income back to God. That's on average when they do studies. I guess we're under grace. I guess that means you give less. I think it should be more than 10%. And I know it is in my family. It has been for 30 years. It's been more. And I think it should be. All right. The offering. So we have tithes and offerings. Real quick, I'm going to cover this quick, and then we're going to apply what we're learning. So we have the tithe and we have offerings. You're going to see this. Tithe is obligatory. It goes to the local church, in my humble opinion. Offering is given for everything else. Okay, because if you're asking, well, I want to tithe, I want to give, you know, 3% over here and 3% there and 2%, and you're spreading out, I say, well, give 10% to your local church and then start giving. And that's my opinion, is that we're generous after we've given what's obligatory. This is God's dollar, and I ain't going to spend it. I can keep all this, but this is God's, and God says, you're robbing me. To me, in my heart, you're robbing me if you spend that. I say, I'm not going to spend that, God. That's yours for sure, and I'm going to give you more, but for sure, I'm not going to spend that. I think that's the attitude he wants us to have. That shows our heart. It's a heart issue. We can't give him one donut out of 10. He's given us all this. God says, give me that, and then we can start giving. Because this isn't mine anyway. In my opinion, this is God's. I give it to him, and then I take these 9, and I go, okay, God, now what do you want me to do with this? Well, give some of it over here. Okay, spend some on your family, but give a little bit to this project or this ministry. That's what offerings are for. Tithes are obligatory. I think it's 10% at least. The rest is offerings, okay? Offerings are optional but eternally important. We have tithes and we have offerings. We see it in Deuteronomy. The verse says this. It shows you all the different offerings in this one verse. It says, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts. There's two kind of gifts there, two kind of offerings. And all the choice possessions you have vowed or committed to the Lord. And I have made that commitment. I would encourage you too well to say, God, maybe you need to think and pray about this, but I encourage you to do it. I have made a vow to the Lord. I believe this with all my heart that I will give you the first 10%. That is yours. And then I will give above and beyond that to the best of my ability, beyond the 10%, God. I made that vow. So offerings are different than the tithe. They're above and beyond the 10%. 2 Corinthians says, the service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing to many expressions of thanks to God. Offerings fund special needs, things like Change the World, we're going to do here in just a minute, the Compassion Ministry, which we'll talk about in the back. There are plenty of good ministries in town here, whether it's Pregnancy Resource Center, the Rescue Mission, Standing Together. There's lots of places that we can give these special funds to. And we can do that, and I do that, and our church does that, and so many of you do that as well. I think that's God's plan. Tithes and offerings, two different things. This funds things like our building campaign is an offering. It's above and beyond the tithe. We ask people to fund the building with offerings, special gifts. That's what offerings are. And God does so much good with this money, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He does. God does so much good with these type of offerings when we give to the Red Cross, when we give to different organizations, when we give to Compassion International or to Samaritan's Purse. And there's so many good groups that we can give, and we need to. We need to do that. And it does so much good. I like what P.T. Barnum said. He said, money is a terrible master, but it's an excellent servant. God can use that, and God wants to. He wants to take the stuff he's given you and direct it so it can do a lot of good in this world. And it can. It can do a lot of good in this world. And together, when we work together and we're generous together, then amazing things can happen. You know, we've decided that we're going to build a building, that God's leading us to build that building. We're getting kicked out of the building in Sandy. There's no question that we need to find some place. Rather than paying rent, which we have for 13 years, it just kind of makes sense that we're going to be here for another, God willing, we're going to be here for a long time. 40, 50, 60, 100 years, I don't know how long, but to have our own place makes a lot of sense. And so we are planning on building a building, but it just takes money. Again, money is an excellent servant. Just want to update you quickly on the project. If you haven't got one of our brochures in the back, this is the building. We're going to build it in two phases is kind of the plan. The first phase will be kind of the educational wing, but we can fit there. It'll be a little bigger than we're in right now, and we can fit there. And we can get that built fairly cheaply and fairly quickly. We'll build the second phase as God leads us, hopefully quicker than sooner than later, okay? Again, this is what the first phase will look like right there in 7th East, 114th South. Right behind the Harmons, so we're really about 116th South is where that property is. That's what the first phase looks like. Here's what the second phase looks like. Connected on, that's the auditorium and the huge lobby. This will be coming south down 7th East, just over 114th. That's what phase one looks like. Add on phase two, that's what it'll look like. This is what the huge lobby, this will be our favorite place to hang out in. This is going to be a beautiful thing, this lobby where there'll be weddings, there'll be all kinds of meals, there'll be a lot of things happening in this huge lobby. Again, we can have this by the spring, but it's going to take all this working together. And that's why we've asked you, last week we handed you a sample commitment card, a pledge card. Listen, again, we're asking you simply to pray and say, God, how can I be involved? How should I be involved? That's all we want you to do truly. If God says don't be involved, then don't be involved. And by the way, if you think, oh, I'm just going to put down a number and I don't know if I can, I'm not sure if that's, I can even do that. Can I encourage you? Don't do that. If you don't think you can fulfill your commitment, please don't do that. Don't put anything down. I would rather have you not put anything than to put a pledge that you're not going to fulfill. Because you see, we're going to banks and we're making real commitments here. And I don't like sweating when the bills come due because you said you could pay some and you can't. That's why it's important you pray about it. I'm being very pragmatic here. This is God's deal, and I want him to lead you, amen? Amen? And you want him to lead you. If he says don't give anything, then by all means, don't give anything. If he says this is what you can do, this is a sacrificial, faith-filled gift that I think you should be a part of this, what I'm doing, then do it and be faithful with it. Amen. Don't put it down and then not do it. Way too many people did that last time, by the way. Probably not anybody in this room, but people that aren't with us anymore, put it down and didn't do any of it. We counted all that, and we made plans based on that. God was faithful, but it'd be a lot easier if you just said, I think this is what I can do, and then do it. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm asking you to pray for the next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we'll turn in our pledge cards, and we'll see what God does. Leaders, you got to pray faster because you got to turn yours in this Thursday, all right? You got to turn yours in this Thursday. You know who I'm talking to. All right, so that's where we're at. Summary, commitment is reflected in our giving. Commitment is expressed through our giving. So tonight, next week we'll look at sacrifice. Tonight, we are going to have our change the world. So I think we have a slide here, compassion. So I got done pretty quickly so we could go through these three different areas of how we're going to practically apply what we just learned. All right, we're practically going to apply this. We're going to be able to give to some poor people here. Compassion International is a fantastic organization that we partner with. They do something so much better than we could ever do. So we just say, you know, we'll partner with you guys. We'll bring you guys in because you do a great job. What they do is that they allow us to sponsor children. That's one of the things they do. Let me read this. If you sponsor children from Compassion International, you'll help save the child from a lifetime of desperate poverty and despair. It costs $38 a month and will change the future of your child and your own life as well. Here's some other things that you can sponsor through this great organization. This doesn't benefit us at all, by the way. This is an outside organization. We've said, come in, we're going to promote you. You can sponsor things that give food and clean water, medical care. This is what your child will get, by the way, for $38 a month. A Bible in his or her native tongue, life, skills, training, most importantly, your child will hear about Jesus Christ and be encouraged to develop a lifelong relationship with him. You'll be linked directly to your child. You'll have a picture of them right away. They have the pictures back on the tables tonight. You'll know your child's name. You'll be able to write letters back and forth. In fact, I think Jenny is going to be able to meet her sponsor child, I think, in Honduras. Some of you Honduras. Is that right, Josh? I think so. I think some of the Honduras mission folks this summer are going to be able to meet their children. Is that right? So that's going to be awesome. So they're real kids, and you're helping real people. So tonight, your expression could be, go back to that table when we're done here and talk to them and look at the children, and maybe you could sponsor one of those children. That's an action point if God leads you to do that, all right? There's two other things that we're going to do tonight. For these two things, we're going to take an offering. As I mentioned last week, we gave you a heads up on this. We typically don't take an offering if you've been here very long. We have boxes in the back, and they're almost hard to see. We almost make it difficult to give here at the Rock Church. It almost bugs me a little bit there. You could walk right by that. But for those of you that are members or consider yourself part of this family, you know that that's where God would have you give a portion back to him of what he's given you. It's in those boxes. So we don't pass a plate. We don't put it in front of new people. If you're new with us, that's not our goal. I don't bring you to my house for dinner and then put a plate in front of you and say, could you give me 10 bucks? That was a 15 buck meal. Could you just cough it up, you know? I don't do that. We don't pass plates in because there's new people in here. But if you're a member, that's where you give back to God, in those boxes. But I have no problem putting a bucket in front of anybody's nose when it goes to poor children in Romania or Honduras. Every penny. Every penny. We're not taking a cut. Every penny. We'll count it, and we'll send it all with those guys to spend for housing and for shoes and all the things they're going to do. For instance, in Romania, they're going to help build a gypsy church. I was actually on this land last September of this poor gypsy village. The mayor has given a Christian ministry a piece of property right there in a small gypsy village. I stood on the land with these guys right here, and we said, God, we think the Rock Church could pay for this building. We said it that day. We said, I think it would be so cool. We could raise that money. It was going to, at the time, it was $40,000. We've already raised over $10,000, I think. And we sent that to them. They're clearing the land with that money. They're going to put foundations. So when we go on our mission trip in July, we're going to trust that we're going to get money tonight to have enough to build the building. That's our plan. That's our goal. And I'm believing God's going to do that. Now, they're trying to raise money on their end. And we're trying to raise money here. I think it's so awesome that we get to do this. Could I just give you a little caveat? Is that I had, you know, there's been people that have questioned me or wondered, so do you realize that you're right in the middle of a capital campaign and you're doing a fundraiser for somebody else? Do you realize that, Bill? I said, oh yeah. This is going to be a story I'm going to tell for the rest of the Rock history. Amen. In the middle of our campaign, we did a fundraiser and we raised $30,000 for other people. That's a lot of money for us, by the way. That's going to be a story I'm going to love telling. What's going to happen tonight, this weekend? Yeah. I'm believing it. Yeah. I'm believing it. Amen, God's going to do something amazing. So Romania, what we're going to do on the mission trip and why we need money is we're taking a team. Get this, there's 24 people from the Rock Church that have paid. It's going to be well over $1,700 just for the plane ticket. 24 people are going to go on this mission trip to Romania to help build this building. It's unbelievable to me. That's from downtown Sandy, actually from Phoenix, our sister church in Phoenix, our sister church in Denver. They're going to join us from Provo. We have a few people from those other churches coming with us. We're going to get dirty building to building. The mayor has given us that land, given the ministry that land. We have people here that are probably going to move over there next year. So we're invested in this thing, and you can be invested in this thing as well. And you're going to see a video here. After the video, I'll come up and introduce the Honduras video. Just a short 7-minute video. This is all part of my teaching. I've got time, so don't sweat it. It's a video that shows you the actual land and shows you the two people that are running the ministry where we stayed when we were there. Sweet people, sweet Christians who are looking to retire and basically pass off this ministry and all the houses that you see they built and the land and the future church building that we're going to build in July. That'll all be taken over by these guys as they go to Romania. So we're going to watch a quick video of the Romania team and what we're going to do over there. You'll see a little bit of what's happening and the people they're ministering to and we will minister to in July. And then I'll come back up and we'll see a shorter video on Honduras. And then we'll pass cans around. We'll just dig in and give whatever God leads you to give, okay? So let's go ahead and roll that video.
I'm Bob McDonald, and this is my wife, Edith. And we've been here in Romania for 6 years now. Our primary purpose is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to children and young people in this area. We focus on an area of 6 villages in Transylvania, quite near the city of Cluj-Napoca. The main purpose, as I say, is for children and young people, but we also have groups that come across from mainly the UK to just have to assist in the mission and to do some work with us. And that's a very, very, very valuable part as well. We have about 200 young people come through the family centre that we built and that was opened last year. We bus them in. We have too many buses, and we bus them in from 5 or 6 villages, and we bring them to this place where they have programs of a variety. But in most of these programs, they do hear the gospel. We have our teens church, we have music and puppet workshop, we have all age programs and teens programs. And as I say, there were about 200 young people go through the centre every week. In the summer, we have children's holiday clubs and groups, as I've already said, come and they just share with us in this work, in this ministry. We built the centre, the family centre, because the home in which we live, in which we started the work, became too small. Now, our next project, probably our last project here, but our next project is to build a church and a centre in an area of the main village, which is San Paul. We want to build a church and a centre for the gypsy community that is there. It's a large gypsy community, and they are the poorest of the poor in Romania. They have very, very, very little. There are about 65 homes in this community, and to serve these 65 homes, there are only 4 wells. Our centre would be, as I say, a community centre wherein the various programmes could take place, but also a church wherein they could worship God. God is doing amazing things among the gypsies in this country, and we really do believe that God wants to do something in this area of San Paolo. So that's what this film is about, just to show you a little bit of the poverty that these people live in. Quite conscious that it's not the poorest place in the world, but it is nevertheless very poor. And this is where God sent us. So we hope that you'll see something of the poverty of this place and catch a vision to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area. This is an approach to the gypsy community in São Paulo. You can just see the edges of it from here. There are about 400 people live in this community, about 65 to 70 houses. It's pretty run down, as you can see, and these little houses, these little hovels rather, whole families, complete families of 4 or 5 people live in these single-roomed houses that are just nailed together. There are some which are obviously a lot better than others, but unfortunately most of them are pretty basic and pretty bad. See two of the 4 wells that the people have to use. There are 2 here that you can see, or that are part of this film, and they have to draw water from these not very clean wells. That water is used for their own homes, for their own hygiene, such as it is, as well as for their animals. Some of the children of this gypsy community, we do try to put on programs for them. It has to be said, it's a little bit difficult sometimes because it can be a little bit volatile. As you can see hear from the noise behind us, they can sometimes get a wee bit uncomfortable. The houses, as you can see, are very, very shabby. Some of them are on the point of falling down, and occasionally they actually do fall down. And they have very, very little of this world's goods. They do need help. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we believe will change their outlook, change their attitudes, and help their lifestyles considerably. We do want to try and help them practically, because I believe that the gospel does help people practically, and that's why we're building this center. Part of this center will include shower blocks and toilets, so that they can have facilities to improve their hygiene, which is very, very difficult. Some of them live right at the top of the village, up a hill, and of course, it's very difficult to run water all that way. See some of the excavations that have begun. The mayor of this zone is quite happy with the centre that we've already built, and he has donated the land that you see in this film. The only unfortunate thing about it is that it's part of a hill. It has to be excavated, and that of course is quite an expensive part to before we can actually start the building. You'll see how high it is, and you'll see how much excavation has yet to be done. But give me this mountain is a biblical phrase. We want actually to take this mountain away. But we'll do that, and the center will be built in God's good time.
So what I like about that video is what you need to understand is it's not some stock footage from Romania. Bob and Edith are the ones that we stayed with when we were there. Bob and Edith are the ones we'll be with in July. That land is the land we're going to be building the church building on, and that we sent money over to have it excavated to get the excavation done. So this is real time. These are real people, and there are real needs over there. And the money that we're going to raise and take over there is going to build the blocks and the cement and everything we need to put a church/community center right on that property. So it's very close to where Bob and Edith live, the other ministry center. So that's the first area that we can give to tonight. Honduras is the second, and they're going to build, Brian said a fourth or fifth time we've been there, maybe more, but we're going back to Don Lee, Honduras. And we have a sister church there, Great Commission Latin America Church, that's part of our organization. There's 20 people going to the Honduras trip, which again amazes me. 13 from downtown, 7 from Sandy. They're going to go July 23rd through 31st. By the way, Romania is going July 6th through 22nd. They're actually going 2 weeks. We'll be working with our sister church there to build a nutrition center on their church building and to witness to people in town and surrounding area. And this is our understanding. The church is made out of cinder blocks, which doesn't have many walls, a metal roof like our downtown church building. So to help build a nutrition center in Don Lee, that's what they're going to do. So we have a video of these guys, actually what they did. I believe this was last year, what they did last year. So this is the same place they're going to be going back to, and this is another area that we can give our change to. After this video will come up, we'll pass the cans, we'll give, and we'll worship a little bit, and that'll be our expression, our practical application for our message tonight. So let's watch this video.